life.
We'll call this meeting to order. Today is Monday, October 11th, 2021, and this is the business session of the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors meeting, and it is 6 o'clock p.m. Can we get roll call, please?
Director Bangender?
Here.
Director Frumfeller?
Here.
Director Haynes?
Present.
Director Kircher?
Here.
Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have no education showcase, so can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Marty's not here.
Oh, with deleting that, thank you for reminding me that, we will not have a, it'll be amended that we will not have a technology update because our technology director is not here tonight.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion other than that? Roll call, please.
Director Bangender?
Yes.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Haynes?
Aye.
Director Kircher?
Aye.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the board meeting of September 27th, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Bangender?
Yes.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Haynes?
Aye.
Director Kircher?
Aye.
Could I get a motion to approve the board, the minutes from the board meeting of October 1, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Bangender?
Yes.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Haynes?
Aye.
Director Kircher?
Aye.
Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the special board meeting of October 4th, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Bangender?
Yes.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Haynes?
Aye.
Director Kircher?
Aye.
Moving on to communications, we will start with our HR director,
hello,
Ken Schumann.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So those pins that I left for you, those
yes.
are our new pins that we give to our employees at our annual luncheon.
Okay.
We started those for this year for the first time. And for the employees, there's on the bottom of the pins, it's etched, not on yours, but on the bottom of the pins, the years of service that they've completed with the district.
Pretty
so,
cool.
You can just have those. And,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. For those of you who sign contracts and everything else, right there, be ready tonight. You
want to
flex your hand.
We are ready.
You did it already.
We're ready.
All
we're
right.
ready.
Good
we
job.
We get here early for that.
All right, good. Those are for extra duty assignments, coaches mainly, more than
right.
anything else. I'll have another group for you next meeting, and that'll probably be our activity sponsors, our staff
okay.
that leads activities and so forth throughout the district. So the only other thing I have for you is, have you had a chance, I'm not sure, Douglas, how much you may have told them about Mike Newton, our new director of
mm-hmm.
school safety. So
bit,
I brought his resume for each of you if
okay.
you'd like to look at it a little further. So I'm gonna,
yeah.
Ron, if you could just pass this
awesome.
Down.
Thank you.
Let's see, make sure I've got mm-hmm. everything here. There you go. I gotta tell you, this guy is really something, and I'm sure Douglas had some words for you about him. He lives in Elizabeth, which
great.
Is really great.
That's really good.
He's a young guy from Littleton Schools, a really great candidate. He was the director of security and emergency planning, which is the same job we hired him for here over at Littleton Schools. Prior to that, he was the assistant director. He has a military background. He was with the Colorado Air National Guard. And then he was with the Air Force. So he's a very, very sharp guy. We're very, very lucky to have him. There was a bonus that came along with him, and that's his wife, Brooke Newton, we hired as our part-time nurse over at Elizabeth High School, and she'll be starting shortly next month. So that's really great. So I'm so pleased with Jason as our communications director, and now Mike. As our director of school safety and emergency planning, I think our leadership team is going to be even better than it is right now. And it's a good leadership team. So real
pleased. Can you talk about the interview process?
Yeah, the interview process. So we narrowed it down to two candidates. We had others, but we were really looking for people that had school experience. And so we narrowed it down to two candidates. We had a Zoom interview with one candidate who was from out of state. And that's Douglas and me. Douglas and I had the interview with Mike and the other candidate. And then we had a couple of panels. One was of some of our leadership team. They were very impressed with him out of that interview. And the second one was with our partners in the community, our law enforcement partners. So we had the sheriff, we had the Elizabeth police chief, Bergen, and they talked to him and met with him, and Douglas and I observed and listened and so forth. So, and then he met, Chief Steck was not able to make that panel, but he talked later that day with Chief Steck privately and got really, really good comments. I was real impressed with how they perceived Mike while they were here, and I think it's a step. He's one step ahead already, because I think he has made a really good impression on our law enforcement partners here.
That's right. Well, having that connection is huge.
Yes, it's a
and
big
being able to work well together.
Absolutely, and that was not my idea. I give that was Douglas's idea, and I think it was a really really
that's
great
a really
idea.
Good one.
Yeah. So that's how the process went. We also did reference checks. Just to make sure that what we're seeing and what we're hearing from Mike is the same thing we're hearing from other people, and it was.
Good.
It was. So real excited to have him. He'll be here next month, and his wife Brooke will be here next month. They just had a baby, about 10 weeks ago, I think, their first child. They live in Gold Creek here, and he's part of the community. They're
nice.
Both part of the community, so I'm real excited about that.
Good. That's great.
Yeah. Any questions, comments? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all you have?
That's it. I don't have much. I got to tell you, I have been working.
We know you.
But I don't have a whole lot of stuff of real interest to you. So.
We know you work hard.
Yeah. Yes,
thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't want to talk about the change in pay for...
It's in their packet.
I know, but I just didn't know if you wanted to say anything.
Not really. No. Okay. I have a memo attached. So yeah.
Okay.
If you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Okay.
But he was so busy today that the two of them didn't even talk at all.
We did. We our offices are right next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was in his office. I was in my office all day, and we didn't speak a single word. Not even us. Not even hello.
Well, say hello now.
I did, and then said, "Hey, Ron, how are you?"
There was a purpose behind it.
Yeah, your part, right?
I was going to say, you guys need to learn how to get along better.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, up next we have our Chief Financial Officer, Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. My report will not be that short.
It never is.
That's absolutely right. It never is.
Snap.
All right, checks over $5,000. This month's list, you have mostly your typical expenses, utility bills, charter flow through, insurance premiums, but there are also payments for athletic trainer services, tech hardware and licenses, sped facility costs, CASB dues, bus payment, sped contractors, curriculum, SRO payment, alarm inspections, painting, and contractor services for the RISE grant. No questions, I'll move on to the financials. These statements represent activity through the end of August, or 16.67% through the new fiscal year. General fund revenues as a percentage of the budgets stand at nearly 12%, while expenditures are nearly 16% spent when compared to the budget. Even though there are some cost centers over the 16.67% benchmark, and overall some of these are due to large one-time expenditure, or expenses that are payables that will be reflected in last year's financial statements, or beginning of the year classroom startup expenses, insurance premiums, and some summer projects. Plus, some of these budgets, the individual line item budgets, are based on prior year, and last year was an outlier year due to the pandemic. So I'm basically talking about salaries and benefits. We're gonna have as you know, I build the salary and benefit budgets on a using a formula based on the prior year. So, but right now, looking at some salaries and benefits, we're right at, this was through the end of October, or through the end of September, so they're really close to matching where we're supposed to be at this point in time for overall salary and benefits, not individual line items. Let's see what else. Again, nothing overall, and the overall spending within general fund, there's nothing in here too concerned about now. I have some other things in above and beyond the financial statements, if I can go there, unless you have some questions on the financials.
That's fine.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the budget, specifically right now the enrollment. When I built the budget, built it on 48 additional students over and above last year. Right now, the unofficial count is putting us up an additional 76 students above our projection, for a total increase of about 124 students. Of course, last year we had a large reduction of in-school students, and even including the online kiddos. We had a drop in enrollment last year. So I was anticipating an increase in enrollment for this year, plus all the building that's going on in the community here. So an increase of 124 students from last year's October count is actually pretty good, but still we've gone down a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of getting back to where we once were.
John, what is the net year over year? What is the net change?
Well, it's again, it's 124. Okay. Again,
from
this is
2 years preliminary. Ago though. It's
yeah,
quite a bit. Okay, yeah. We were down way down 2 years ago.
Well, last year we're down way
last
down.
Year. Yeah, because gotcha.
That's a graduating class.
It's just been kind of a gradual decline. Yeah. I think it's good.
No, I mean the 124 is like graduating class. That's
right.
Great.
Finally,
yeah.
Yeah,
good
point.
Good. So, my best estimate for an increase in funding is around $150,000. That might not sound like a whole lot, but we're on 5-year averaging. And while it doesn't sound like a whole lot, we're still getting more because of 5-year averaging, more than what we would normally have been funded at with the actual enrollment numbers. So even though we don't see as large of an increase, right. we still benefit because of 5-year averaging, and we're going to benefit again this year because of 5-year averaging. In a few years, that will be gone. If we keep going in this direction, but for the time being.
So they don't do 5-year averaging as you go up, or do they just do an equal amount as you went down? Does that make sense?
So it's just based on the.
I know it's for when you're declining enrollment.
Right.
It keeps it from hitting you hard.
Right.
So when do they stop doing it as you're going up, I guess?
Well, as soon as you start getting funded, as soon as your actual enrollment is higher than what the 5-year averaging would have been.
Okay.
So that's when the 5-year averaging goes away.
And then that's a good thing if you're going up.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, then you actually, if there's an increase of 124 students, you'll actually see 124 times $8,800, which
right.
is about approximately what we get funded per student.
Right.
So that's going to be much
okay.
larger increase
right.
than
okay.
$150,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Just want to make sure
and
I was grasping that correctly.
Pretty much cuts it in half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it'll approximately cut it in half on the upside as well until we get out of that.
Right. Let's see, Pupil Activity Fund. Just want to give you a heads up on the Pupil Activity Fund. Because of this mid-year increase in the extracurricular pay, more than likely at mid-year revision, we're going to have to amend the budget upwards for the expenses. On the flip side, the food services, had because of this huge amount of participation last year, and the Fed's funding free lunches all of last year, we had a pretty significant increase in revenues and also the fund balance, more over and above what I was anticipating. So more than likely at the mid-year revision, we're going to zero out the $100,000 transfer from the general fund to the food service. So then these two will probably, the people activity fund, the food service will probably cancel each other out. So if that makes sense. I also like to talk to you really quickly about food service. I know you're hearing all about these great supply chain issues that are happening throughout the world. Our little district has not been left out of it, and I'm sure you're seeing in other school districts supply chain issues. And I just want to give you an example of kind of some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes to make sure, you know, all the kiddos get their lunches. So I think it was a year or so ago, the state says, they said, you know what, we're going to grandfather styrofoam trays for the next year. Then once, that year is over with, we'll have to go to compostable trays. Well, the problem there was that also happened at the same time that the feds were saying everybody gets a free lunch. And that, and also the makers of the styrofoam trays were no longer making styrofoam trays. And so guess what happens? We run into a massive shortage of trays. And it's not just our district, it's nationwide. There are not enough trays. And so what we're having to make do with taking the, what do they call them? They're called attached compartments that you see, like the old styrofoam trays that you get at the restaurants. We break them in half so you can have two trays. One with the regular top, which we can put pizza, slices of pizza in, or you have the other half where you have the little sections in there. We can put your entrees along with, your apple slices and things like that in there. So that's what we're doing to make do. And I was told by our food service director that she would get phone calls from people, some of her employees that were shopping at Sam's. Hey, they got a bunch of trays here, these styrofoam trays. You want me to pick some up? And so we've been making do with what we can. Wow. And so that's just some of the things that we do to improvise, adapt, and overcome shortages. Correct. Yep.
Can you also talk a little bit about what Terry did in anticipation?
Stocking up on food and milk and stuff like that. Well, yes, Terry did. And see what was happening. That's our food service director, mm-hmm. Terry Maher. She saw what was happening. And she planned far enough ahead where while we are still changing our menus quite a bit, we are having enough food, but menus are changing a lot. So we are making do there. Unfortunately, it hasn't hit us as hard as some of the other districts. It still hit us pretty good though.
And she kind of saw what was, earlier in the summer and maybe even in the spring. I don't know when she started, but whenever she found anything that was part of our menus, she would buy it. So we've got a little bit more of a cushion in some districts because she was...
Kim's got a bunch of vegetables over here.
Yeah, I got zucchini. Lots of that.
Boy, those kids will love you.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think they'll like the woods.
That's zucchini bread.
Kids
are
Colorado.
Just dying for zucchini.
The Colorado. Sorry, I have to throw that out.
That's funny.
She's wanting us to take her veggies, so...
Yeah. Yes.
And a couple more things. The general fund. Now, we didn't, so there's the coronavirus relief fund that was way at the beginning. And they just sent us money, spent it on whatever we needed to do to address the pandemic. This was back in March of 2020, end of March of 2020, April of 2020. Then after that, we've had, I know you're getting tired of me talking to you about it, but the ESSER, there's the three levels of ESSER, ESSER 1, 2, and 3. ESSER 1, we had to have the application in by January. Got it in, got our money, spent the money, got our money, because it's a reimbursement. ESSER 2 application was due September 30th. We got our application in mid-summer. Yeah, I had to make several adjustments to it, and then we got it approved. But a lot of the money spending that we got approved was for the prior year. We did not know we were going to get approved for this for the prior year, and so We got some unexpected money that I didn't anticipate when I was building the budget, to the tune of about, it was over $200,000. In addition to the high cost application, which we, you know, didn't know for sure we were going to get to. So our ending fund balance for last year is going to be significantly higher than what I was anticipating. It's going to be in the over $4 million range of the fund balance, and I was anticipating about $3.4 million. So it's healthy. Much more so than
I think that's where it was when I got on the board before that crash hit.
It was about 4.5.
Right in the middle of the crash. Sort of.
You knock on wood right now.
Yeah. It's right there. Which now leads me into the buses. we talked earlier about needing some buses that we didn't anticipate we were needing. I mean, we have a lot of old buses. But we didn't know exactly how bad they were deteriorating. A lot of it is due to the roads that they drive on out here, as we all know. I'm not telling them to preach to the choir here. So we're in the middle of purchasing some used buses to get us through the next few years, but that doesn't preclude the fact that we actually need more new buses. Mm-hmm. And so, we're buying six from Falcon that we drove them. We had our mechanics go out there and inspect them. They crawled underneath the buses and, you know, took a look at them, and there were some that did not meet our standards, and so we didn't get them. But they're mostly because they had some nasty fuel leaks and some oil leaks that we didn't know. And like I said, we drove them too. So we did everything. We did all of our due diligence. We're going to be picking up these buses, and like I said, we got six of them. And but we still need some more buses, new buses, to actually, you know, get us, you know, through the next few years, while we phase out all of our really old buses.
I say, how many ancient ones do we have left in service once we get the six used ones?
So the old ones, we got the 10 new ones, and we have 26 routes. So we have 16 that are older, but then we also have other buses that are also older. So I think we probably have about 20 that are 20 years old. Not 20 years old. 20 of them that are, probably about 15 that are 20 years old or more. We've picked up a few over the years that were new, but like one here or two there, and that was it.
Right.
So we do need some more new ones. And
how many more?
We'd like to get four. So that, but unfortunately, they're 100,000 piece.
Yep.
Four, three Gen Ed buses and one Sped bus. So.
Ron, what are the two buses sitting next to the bus barn? One of them actually says Bulldogs across the top.
Though we actually do the inspections for Kiowa and Elbert.
Oh, okay.
So
got it. I was like, I hope they repaint that one.
it's Elbert's. It's Elbert's.
Got it.
I think they're the Bulldogs. I'm pretty sure they're the Bulldogs.
Okay.
So
right.
That's what that is.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Sure.
Okay, next up, superintendent update.
Let's see. As I mentioned to you before, I've spent a lot of time in the schools this school year, probably somewhere between 60 and 70% of my time in schools. And part of that is to just stay as close as I can to what's happening in the schools, what they need, what support they need, how things are going, problem solve, and all that kind of thing. And really it's by far, even though it's a major part of my day, the best part of my day, because it's really inspiring to see what's happening in our schools, what our students are doing, what our teachers are doing, and the overall kind of, you know, feel and culture of the schools. And the challenges, especially the challenges that our teachers face, in large part because we've been really determined about people staying home when they're sick. And that's been hard for some teachers because they know that if they don't show up, they may be letting down their colleagues, somebody might have to sub for them, and that sort of thing. And that's where the BINACs now at home rapid antigen tests have been really useful. We've given out now, I think, over 800 of them to students, sometimes to families, and to staff. You know, if you're not feeling well and you're willing, take the test and let us know. And so many have, and it's influenced then their decisions about what they do and our decisions. But the stress on the schools and on the teachers for just that kind of cautionary approach is probably one of the stress points for our staff. You know, some of you may have participated in some of the events. I know you have last week for homecoming. And the schools, all of the schools participate in homecoming. It's not just the high school. Right. So all the schools have dress-up days and they do other things really around school spirit. But they hadn't had that for 2 years. And yeah. So the participation level was just incredible. And tons of enthusiasm. Hopefully we'll be able to share some photos. The decorations that they did at the high school were really super creative, but then the execution was amazing. I mean, you have to see it to believe it. And so Jason took photos, and we'll see if we can capture the feel of it. The homecoming dance was on Saturday night. It was like oversubscribed. It was just absolutely packed. They had all of the doors open. They brought in great big fans. Some of the teachers kind of liked the fact that they had to guard the doors because then they kind of didn't have to be in the middle of the mix. because once you're in, you can't, you know, you can't leave and then come back in. You know, all of the things last week were really successful, and it was just awesome to see, especially the kids, so happy to be able to take a little bit of a break in terms of the rigor of their studies. There's kind of an unwritten rule to slack off just a little bit in terms of homework and tests and all that, because they're so busy, and just going from one thing to the next. The bonfire, all the athletic events, teams did really well. Even when they didn't win, there were the softball team, they pulled it out. I saw the first half of the first inning, and it was like, oh no, I think it was 4-0. I was like, oh. Yeah. But, you know, just a lot of grit and a lot of enthusiasm. The stands were filled. So it's really a successful week. The parade just, I still don't know how there can be so many people on the side of the parade when there are so many people in the parade. it was a great week for the students, a great week for our schools to be able to celebrate it. The weather really was in our favor a little bit, funky on Friday afternoon for a couple of hours, but not too bad. I mean, the dunk tank was a little colder than usual. But and then the last thing, kind of circling back again to some of the COVID-related stuff, we've seen a kind of slow down tick in terms of number of cases over the last week and a half. We've kind of come to dread Mondays because you've got the weekend, and we typically hear on Mondays who tested positive over the weekends. On Friday, Lori Clark said to me, you know, see you on Monday. Hopefully we can just talk, you know, personal stuff. Like not talk COVID. And that's what happened today. And so she was able to do other work. We are running low on COVID tests. The state did not give us any delivery last week. We expanded our requests. So rather than just one district-wide request, we also made individual requests from the schools. That program is really popular, and I think they're struggling with demand. So we're seeing the effect of that. We still can probably make it through this week, especially with the downtick in terms of numbers of people. I mean, it's really people that we send home because of illness. But if we don't get a shipment soon, I'm not sure what we're going to do. So right now we're just communicating with the state, saying, where are they? We need them. You know, they have not had success with their screening program that they instituted. They put a lot of money, a lot of time into that. It's a whole different program. It's on scheduled days. There's an incentive thing related to it. A lot of districts have really not wanted to participate because of the incentive program. It's like they've asked the state to disconnect the incentive from the testing, but it goes to the highest levels, even at the feds, to have the incentive they had. They've had about 2% participation in a program that they expected to be, so they kind of misjudged the public and what they'd be interested in doing. Not as much investment in, and they did make a big investment into the at-home testing, but a much bigger investment in the serial testing or screening. And there just has been across the state, big districts, little districts, urban, suburban, rural, just have not embraced it. So we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed, because that's been an essential part of our response, is to be able to not only keep people that are sick, keep them at home, but to then have it give them the ability to have free, rapid, and very reliable tests. I mean, these tests are what you need if you've traveled internationally to get into the country. You have to show a negative test on this. So it's something that that's required to enter the country. So so we'll just have to see how that goes. Otherwise, I think that this week's a little bit, people are recovering, and then we have parent-teacher conferences, and then you can't really, it's not really a fall break. 2 days off for the kids, 1 day off for the teachers, but they make up for that day off by working late on Wednesday and Thursday. But I think everybody's looking forward to just another day. It's been a lot of work. So the common theme, not only in Elizabeth School District but other school districts, is folks are just really tired. And a lot of it's just resulted from kind of a larger than expected impact by the Delta, and the contagiousness and just all the little disruptions to the day-to-day operations. Those are the main things I wanted to report on. So, okay. If you guys have any questions?
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I make a comment?
You may.
I just wanted to thank Douglas for his presence at all the events. And I don't say that lightly. All the events during homecoming week. I mean, I saw you everywhere.
I saw you everywhere, too.
I know. But, I was just at the high school. I wasn't at all the elementary schools or the middle schools. I know you were everywhere. And it's appreciated.
It means a lot.
The community notices, and they appreciate it. So thank you.
You work Saturday too. Spent a couple hours together. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to read this before we start with public comment. Better glasses. This is really small.
You would buy one.
No, I can get by with these. I'll just go slow. During the Board of Education session, time will be provided on the agenda during public participation for members of the community to speak to the board on items of interest or concern that do not appear elsewhere on the agenda. It is the Board of Education's practice not to hear in public session complaints against any district personnel. In addition, it is a violation of federal law to discuss in public or elsewhere individual student issues, according to the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, or FERPA. In an effort to avoid undue repetition and keep within the time frame of the agenda, the board asks that speakers who have come to express similar opinions on a particular topic designate a spokesperson for the group. Questions or comments requiring feedback will be referred to the superintendent for consideration and later response. Each person addressing the board will have 3 minutes to present his or her views. We will ask you to wrap up as you get near the end of the allotted 3 minutes. The boundaries are designed to keep the meeting focused. First up, we have Andrea Richardson. If you could go to the podium, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
This is where I do my best work. Thanks for having me tonight. Thanks for providing public comment to the public. I'm coming to you tonight speaking to you as a parent. a parent of an Elizabeth School District student. Her name is Avery. She's right over there. Everybody make her feel embarrassed.
Hi, Avery.
You're doing a good job.
She has a
good mom.
You know, she knows. She's dealt with it for 16 years. She's been in the district. We have been in the district for almost nearly 11 years now. And I am coming to you tonight to speak to you as a parent and from my heart. From my heart of hearts, I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude and thanks for everything that you guys have done for our school district. I know the board is a board of volunteers. Most of you volunteer parents. This is not a paying gig. And you guys get a lot of blowback for decisions that you make. And I know it's not hard because you're not going to please everybody. But I just want to say, on the whole, with the parents that I speak to on a regular basis, they are thankful and grateful for you guys. Most specifically for the last 2 years that we've had to deal with our kids, mine in particular, going from 9th grade, 10th grade, now into 11th grade, and starting with she went to online classes, did not enjoy it. Then, by the grace of God, you guys decided, cooler heads prevailed, and you said in person is important for our kids. Our kids need to be in person. So that was a blessing. However, they had to be masked. And I will tell you that while they were all pretty much on the whole glad that they were in person, because it's a much better way to learn, they had an oppressive physical and emotional issue to deal with, and that was masks every day, day in and day out. And I heard about it every day, day in and day out. And I'm talking to you specifically, this was not just a mental health issue, it was a physical health issue. Specifically with my daughter, knowing that, I mean, her and her friend group, and they were very candid with me. I talk a lot with her friends. They suffered from depression and oppression, feeling sincerely oppressed when they were in the schools like it was a jail. Then, not to mention, you add the physical issues that these kids were dealing with, from migraine headaches that they've never had before to severe acne breakouts and issues with skin, and you compound all those things and then take away all their events, or they had to play in masks, they had to play sports in masks. They got their homecoming taken away. Those things, which now this year they have, OMG, let me tell you. The kids are so happy. I notice a huge improved mental state. I know you've done things, Douglas, and you've done the research and the board to, you know, put in the filters at school. Everything that you've done, and that is because the children are at the heart of what you do. I know that's your mission, and I know that to be true based on the decisions you've made. And I know you're probably going to get some pressure from state and local governments about, or even bureaucracies about, maybe possibly requiring vaccinations and things like that. And I ask you to just continue to take into consideration what these kids are going to be telling you. I'm going to have Avery come up and tell her yourself what she's experienced, and hopefully you can take that forward as you make decisions going forward. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for taking time to come in. Next up, we have Avery Couch. We don't bite.
No, I know. It's just totally stole some of the stuff that I was going to talk about.
Oh.
So now I have it.
Okay, you can repeat it.
No, I don't. But hi, I'm Avery Couch. I'm a junior at the Elizabeth High School, which is pretty cool. I am also here to say thank you for what you guys have been doing for the school, because last year, the last 2 years actually, I wasn't really able to experience high school properly because of the restrictions that we had at the school. Me and a lot of my friends, students, were really not able to learn properly and experience things properly. I did get the privilege to go to all of the home football games last year because of a friend of mine, and I've never been so upset to go to a football game like that because we couldn't even sit next to people properly and speak to people properly, and I think that was really difficult. We had to sit away from our friends at lunch. We could not, we couldn't even have our masks off after we were done eating. We could only sit 3 people per table, which was really difficult. I felt very pushed away from my friends. I couldn't hug anybody. I couldn't hug my boyfriend in the hallways. I barely even had time to see him. He was unable to attend school for the first half, which was really difficult because he's my boyfriend. And it was really difficult because I had a lot of self-confidence issues last year because of acne and unable to breathe, and I was just getting home and being exhausted, and I wasn't really learning anything properly. Last year and my freshman year, it really felt like I had gotten the high school experience stolen from me because of something that I would have been able to fight off pretty well, which I did. I had COVID, and it sucked, but I got through it, and I'm okay now. And I think that a lot of people didn't really understand that we were being kind of oppressed, and the restrictions on the school were really difficult for the students to deal with. But this year, as a junior, which is awesome, I'm glad that I still get to be in high school and experience these things like homecoming. It's been pretty amazing. I feel like I've been able to be closer with a lot of my friends who I couldn't even see their faces last year, which was also pretty difficult. This year's been awesome. I've been able to attend homecoming, which I've never seen a volleyball game with that many people before. The stands were filled from the court all the way up to the wall, and it got pretty crazy. We lost that game, but it was awesome. The bonfire was great. Again, I've never seen so many people. The homecoming football game, which we won 54-0, was amazing, was packed. It was crazy. And everybody has just been so happy this year, and we've been able to hang out, and I've been able to be around my friends and sit more than 4 people at a table, and I've been able to actually see my friends' faces and feel more confident about myself and breathe properly and do things, and I've been learning this year, and I just wanted to thank you guys for really giving me that experience back that I got kind of taken away from me for the past 2 years, so... Thank you.
Okay. So next up, we have consent agenda. Could I get a motion to approve items 9.1 through 9.7?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Excuse me, Director Beckendorf?
Yes.
Director Frumkeller?
Yes.
Director
Hines? Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Okay. Next up, we have action items. We have item 10.1, appointment to fill the vacant BOE seat, and I'm just going to go through real quick. I will ask for a nomination, and it has to have a second. And a nomination that has a second has to have a majority vote, which it's like normal. I'm just kind of explaining it. So it'll be, yeah. It has to have 3 board members, yes, at least. And we had an email today from one of our applicants, Michael Hodson. And he emailed us asking us to withdraw his name as a candidate, or as an applicant. So, no nominations for him. So, do we have a nomination to fill the vacant BOE seat?
I would like to nominate Rhonda Olson.
Okay.
Second?
Rhonda Olson.
Okay.
And, did you?
I just said it.
Okay.
Discussion? I'm going to just say, I thought all the candidates did a really good job.
I would agree.
We had a very impressive group of candidates to choose from. You don't always get that many impressive people coming in, and I enjoyed speaking with all of them, and I don't think we could go wrong. So.
I took 5 pages of notes, and I went through them all week, and it was tough. Yeah, but you're right, great candidates, but
And the energy from everybody was fantastic. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
And it's hard to, in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about why you're nominating Robin?
Well, I think one of the things that we've talked about as a board, going forward, we have to have the, feel comfortable with the right fit. I think Rhonda would fit in with at least two of us right now. I don't know, and I don't know if I'll be. I hope I will be on the board. But you just never know. But I think I saw the right fit. I felt comfortable with that. Rhonda was a little uncomfortable in the interview, but it's hard because that's a tough interview to go through. I also feel comfortable or confident in her experience and background, specifically at Arapahoe Community College and her leadership over a variety of programs, and then her focus on the kids when we talked about the kids in the district. So that's kind of in a nutshell,
okay.
I guess.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else?
No.
I agree.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Are we going to have an opportunity to nominate more, or is it right now?
So if there's a majority vote for her,
okay.
That's it.
That's
if,
it.
If
okay.
there's not, then I'll ask for another nomination.
Okay.
And you can somebody can nominate her again.
Got it.
You can nominate somebody else.
Got it.
So it's
okay.
just kind of like a action item vote.
Makes sense. Thank you. Yeah. Never done this before. So
I know. Well,
I appreciate it.
I haven't either.
I know.
I did a
you were on the other end.
I did a lot of work on CASB.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so if her nomination doesn't pass, then we ask for
then
another
one. Then we ask
nomination.
For another one.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Director Beckendorf?
No.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Heinz?
Aye.
Director Karcher?
Aye.
Okay. So, that's it. We will move to discussion
I
items.
I could probably just be, for the record, just to confirm the result.
Okay.
That it was a majority.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. So it was 3-1, so that is majority vote.
I see. Right.
So that I can't ask for another nomination because that vote
understood.
Passed. Okay.
Understood.
Okay. Is that good? Sorry. I've never done this before. Okay. So we will move, there are no discussion items, so we'll move on to BOE planning. Our next board meeting is October 25th.
Carrie and I previously stated that we would not be here. I will be here.
I will.
Okay.
Seasons later than we thought it was.
Correct. So we will both be here.
Well, that's good.
That is good.
It's always good to have a...
I just wanted to bring that up in case it
good
was
point.
In notes or on your calendar or something.
So when is your season? I actually didn't have that job.
It opens October 30th, which is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
The following Saturday.
So you guys will be here for the November meeting?
Correct.
Yes.
And you will too?
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably a good thing.
Unless I'm busy processing.
Yeah, really.
Which I hope to be. But
yeah.
Kidding.
And I'd just like to add from a procedural perspective and with the new board member that you just appointed, they need to sign an affidavit of eligibility for the office if they haven't already. They need to be sworn in within 10 days,
mm-hmm.
and then once they're sworn in, they become an official board member. So they're not an official board member until they are sworn in, but once
right.
they're sworn in, and then because the next board meeting is more than 10 days out, then they would participate in the next board meeting as a full board
sure.
member.
Okay.
And
makes sense.
The moment that they're sworn in and that they've signed the affidavit of eligibility, they're effectively like any other board member.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Since you've been around longer than any of us have. Okay.
You calling me old?
Oh, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean
I
it.
Right.
I didn't mean it that way.
Right. I was on the board when you were appointed.
Yes, you were.
I mean, I was on the, in this position.
Yeah, yeah. You were superintendent. See, you are getting old.
I am getting old.
So I did call you old.
You're
getting experienced.
Okay. So we have no executive session, so I will adjourn this meeting at 6:50 p.m.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, that's good. We've had some new meetings.
We give you a gift since you've been meeting so pretty.